friends, this is JJ, the Lone Star Barn Burner Hockey Podcast, and we are live on the BS3 Network, and we have a lot to unpack today, man. It's been a couple of games since the last show. Stars of a two-game win streak under their belt, winning the first game 4-2 over... Who was it? It was the... Arizona Coyotes, yep, 4-2 versus Arizona, and then at Chicago, 5-2. Now, why was the game against Chicago so important or impressive? Well, young goalie Matt Murray from Cedar Park, the Texas Stars, made his NHL debut, and the young man scored, or he didn't score, he scored a victory. And he made 19 of 21 saves, as I said. 5-2 was the final score there. And, you know, on the very first save of the game for him, Murray just kind of, like, stared down the opposing player, didn't back down, and he snatched the puck right out of the air. It was something to behold, I tell you. And, you know, it held a... It held the Stars to, well, I guess helped is a better way of saying it. It helped the Stars to find a lot of confidence. And, you know, it held the Stars fans, at least the ones that I know, faithful and confident that that the game would be in good hands. I mean, me and the co-host of this show, on Monday, K-Fitz, we message back and forth almost every game. And, the thing is, I told him at first, I don't know about this game. And then Murray made the first save, and it's just like, okay, he's going to shut me up. And he wasn't even voted one of the three stars of the game. That's wild to me. 19 of 21 saves for the young man, and he stared every one of them down like he was a pro. And I mean, obviously he is, given that he plays at the AHL, NHL level, but you know, he's not a seasoned veteran like his NHL counterpart, Matt Murray. Famous hockey goalie, you know who he is. I don't need to give you a spiel about him. It's not Stars related anyway. But you know, the two Murrays actually made an internet meme out of it, and or from it, I should say. And this is the Texas Stars Matt Murray, not the Pittsburgh one or any other one for that matter. He belongs to us. And he came out and he showed us, man, that he can do whatever he wants and keep us in it. And he held Chicago to 2 goals. And I don't know what happened with him. I don't know if it was the fact that a couple players were missing because of the trade deadline and they got scratched as a result. I don't know what it was. But, yeah, Murray came out of there like his job depended on it. Maybe it did. I don't really know. Couldn't tell you. Don't want to know. It's not my line of work. But he impressed. I mean, he had everybody buzzing, from other hockey media to the Stars' own media, Dallas and Texas Stars. Everybody was real enthusiastic and hopeful. And you know, that got me to thinking, the trade deadline's over and done with now, right? So I wonder one thing. If it all comes down to it, and, you know, if Wedgwood is hurt or sick or whatever, and we need to call somebody up, do we even need Wedgwood in our system anymore with Matt Murray having done one game's worth of work and being impressive? Now, okay, a lot of people are going to look at the Coyotes and go, yeah, well, it was the Coyotes. They were missing this player. They were missing that player. I'm sorry, the Blackhawks. I guess the same goes for the Coyotes, too. But people are going to come at me or anybody else that thinks this and say, well, it was the Blackhawks. You know, they're missing this person. They're missing that person. They're below average at this, below average at that, average at this, and average at that. So, you know, a big win for the rookie is really nothing. But it was. Okay. And he, like I said, he played like a pro. He played like he knew he was supposed to be there. And a lot of times, you expect to see a player that looks like a deer caught in the headlights, right? You don't know what you're going to get. You just know that the young man might be nervous. That's what you think will happen. And, you know, if he's not, then it's a pleasant surprise. And it was. And like I said, you know, Wedgwood, does he even need to be in the system right now? Or is this a thought that's jumping the gun because he did so well in one game? Maybe with it being so close to the playoffs, I don't know, maybe not, but maybe being so close to the playoffs, maybe you can rest Ottinger a little bit more. Maybe you can even give Wedgwood a little bit more rest and, you know, you back up one of those with Matt Murray. Now here's the thing with that though. The Stars made a trade today, which was Chicago. Max Domi is now a Dallas Star. Anton Khudobin is now a Blackhawk. And they also traded for a minor league goalie as well. And so that evens out there. And we get a much-needed boost on the forward lines with Max, Mr. Domi. And one thing that I'm fascinated and curious about is the fact that he said in the media conference thing today that he's played the majority of the forward roles and he will fit in wherever they want him to. That's fascinating. The man can hit. The man can score. The man can play whatever position we need and with anybody we need. And that's going to be some good stuff. Once again, besides the point, but it does relate to the goalie situation because Anton Khudobin is no longer with the team, so you cannot use him, as the backup should Wedgwood or Ottinger need a break. And, you know, I don't know if that's wise or not to go ahead and do that. Unless maybe you're Boston and you're just lighting up everybody. But on the other hand, what if it is wise to do that because of prevention of injury or illness or whatever? Just a thought. You know, maybe we slide in Murray and the new guy from Chicago. Bring Poirier and Scheel or whoever else is in the lower leagues system. For the Texas Stars, you know, there's plenty of ways you can do that and actually give the players rest. But once again, do you really want to do that if you're not Boston, who is just lighting up everybody? I don't know. I know that seeing that one game made me want to see more because of Ottinger being played the way he was his rookie year, the Stanley Cup Finals as well, and he just lit everybody up. Once again, a player that you expect to possibly be nervous comes out and blows everybody away against one of the toughest teams in the league at that time. Whereas Matt Murray had it a little bit easier with a statistically less than toughest team in the league. You know what I'm trying to say. Yeah, it was the same type of situation. It worked out very well in their favor. And the Stars came away with a 5-2 win. The last two games, they've outscored their opponents 9-4. And they come in with the game early in the afternoon against the Stanley Cup champ, Colorado Avalanche. And Avalanche made a couple of trades here and there. For the most part, I believe most of the team is the same. That's a sign of a good team, if you ask me. Like, I'm a big fan of teams that keep their team together if things are going well, you know. One of the things that I was worried about with the Stars is the team chemistry. If you trade this player, that player, what's it going to do? Going to be brutally honest with you. I was concerned. They traded Gurion off to Montreal for Dadonov. And Dadonov has come in the last two games, and he's gotten a handful of points. And I don't know about Gurionov, but I've seen him in the post-game interviews he's done, and he looks miserable. The poor guy looks miserable. So, you know, my thoughts are with him. And, you know, as far as that trade goes, I'm not sure who got the better end of the deal yet. Seems like Dallas did. Do I wish we could have gotten anybody else? No. You know, there's a famous line that the GMs of the Stars say, Mr. Nil included, by the way. I like where this team's at. And for the most part, you know, I could have and would have called it that as well. I like where this team's at. It's not bad. They were in a little slump, but, you know, when they realized that they could play for each other, everything seems to work out in the end. No matter what time of the season it is, they realize that, hey, we got this, and they do. However, it didn't go that way for the Stars. They traded Gurionov. They traded Hedobin. And things changed. For the better, it seems like. I am so excited to see Max Domi suit up for the Stars against the Avalanche and beyond, because he brings an interesting element of the team. You know, he can hit hard, he can score, he can fight, he's not afraid to, dare I say, play. And one of my biggest pet peeves with the Stars this year, and you've heard us talk about it at links every Monday, QTUT puck possession. You know, if you get Max Domi out there, he could hit somebody or whatever. He could take the attention off the players that he's with and then cause somebody to get a little bit more open. The Dadonov as well. You know, it's nice to see that there could be players on this team that somebody else is afraid of, is what I'm saying. Against a real tough Colorado team, no less. The game yesterday, oh, by the way, Peterson was traded for Scott Reedy, San Jose. The game yesterday stacked up a little bit like this. Against Chicago, Dallas had 36 shots on goal. The Blackhawks had 21. Dallas won 51% of the faceoffs. Chicago won 48, so it was about even there. 2 for 3 on the power play for Dallas, 0 for 2 on the Blackhawks. Okay, so the penalty kill shined. 4 penalty minutes, obviously, because Chicago was 0-2. 6 for the Blackhawks, obviously. Stars were 2-3. 2 of 3. Now, Chicago out-hit Dallas 26-17. I believe that's where Domi comes in, and he can improve that total. Blocks, 18 for Chicago, 16 for Dallas. 5 takeaways, 16 for Chicago. That tells me that Dallas was trying to make plays. Giveaways, that is. Sorry. I guess the takeaways does, too. 11 takeaways and 6 for the Stars. 6 takeaways for the Stars. Shots on goal, 16 to 11 first period in favor of the Stars. 11 to 3 in the second period in favor of the Stars. 9-7 in favor of the Stars in the third, for a grand total of 36-21. Okay, so with the addition of Dadonov, they were automatically shooting a little bit more. They got a little bit more aggressive. I don't know if that had to do with the trade deadline. I don't know if maybe the boss man threatened anybody or all of them or whatever the case, but they started to get aggressive, and that's when they make the better plays, not when they sit back and try to make the pretty plays. It happens when they attack, and now they're back to attacking. Maybe they realize that they have to pull themselves out of it, and they are the only ones that can. I don't know. But with the addition of Max Domi, the Stars are looking and feeling pretty good. I'm not going to lie. Let's look at Max Domi's stats here. Max Domi comes to the Dallas Stars with a season looking a little bit like this. 60 games played, 18 goals, 31 assists for 49 points. Now, if you want to compare that to Denis Gurianov, they are far and away not the same player. Domi is a center and a winger. Gurianov, I believe, only played wing. So essentially, you're upgrading that position, if you ask me, even though that's not how the actual trade went down. I believe Anton Hudobin might have been thrown in as a sweetener, to tell you the truth. But yeah. It's a good thing. That's really all I know how to say it, as far as that goes. Max Domi and Dylan Wells. Dylan Wells was the guy I couldn't think of. And Chicago receives Anton Hudobin and a 2025 second round pick. So we got two players and we gave up one with a draft pick. That tells me also, when you're willing to give up a draft pick like that, that you believe in your players and your system. And I mean, you know, you have Stankoven, you have Maverick Bork, you have a bunch of people. People I can't even name off the top of my head. I really cannot. But it says a lot. Like, the people are coming up from the juniors, and they're going to make a wave in the AHL, and the Stars just traded draft picks. They're like, no, we don't need a new crop of players right offhand. You know, it's going to be okay. That says a whole heck of a lot about this team. I'm a little concerned about Colorado. I'm not going to lie. These two stack up a little bit like this. 0-1-1. Oof. I'm sorry, what? Oh, current streak. Winless in the last two. Colorado, 0-1-1. There we go. Their last 10 overall is 6-3-1. Their last 10 at home, 6-3-1. And last 10 on the road, 5-5. Stars. Record versus opponent, 0-1-1. Franchise overall, 66-64-20. Okay, so we have a winning history over them. Franchise home, 41-22-12. Franchise road, 25-42-8. What in the world did I just read? All right, we're going to skip past that. Jason Robertson leads the Stars with 3 points, 2-1-3 against the Avalanche this season. While Pavelski, 1-0 for 1 point, added a tally on the power play. I guess in that same game, goaltender Ottinger is 0-0-1, and Wedgwood is 0-1-0. They have each played a game against Colorado. Robertson has recorded 6 points, 3 goals, 3 assists, in 4 of his 5 career games against Colorado. So he might have a part to play here. Hintz has earned a .03 for 3. Okay, so that's 3 assists for a grand total of 3 points in 3 of his last 4 games against Colorado. And Pavelski has earned 5 points, 3 goals, 2 assists, 5 points, there you go, in his last 3 games against the Avalanche. He leads the Star Skaters with 19 goals and shares the team lead with 42 points. 19 goals, 23 assists. Defenseman Ryan Suter leads current Star Skaters with 36 assists and a team-high 78 games against Colorado. And Ottinger has made 3 career appearances against Colorado, posting a 2-0-1 record, sorry, with a 1.36 goals against average. That is amazing. And a 965 save percentage against Colorado. Wedgwood, on the other hand, has posted a 1-1-0 record in 3 career appearances in, against the Avalanche. He has earned a 3.58 goals against average. There we go. And an 8.94 save percentage. Okay, so you want to go with, I'm guessing, Wedgwood there. Hintz has scored 3 goals. He did record 3 goals, sorry, against Chicago, earning his 2nd hat trick of the season. This man is on fire. And 3rd of his NHL career, of note as well. With his 2nd of the season, Hintz leads the club in hat tricks through the 22-23 season and shares a 2nd in the league. Hintz recorded goals 6-0-6, by the way, 6 goals, 0 assists, 6 points in each of his last 4 games. His longest goal streak of the season, the Tampere, Finland native, has 29 goals and 56 points. So that's 29 goals, 27 assists in 54 games this season. He sits 8 goals shy of his career high for goals in a single season, which is 37. And one away from matching his career high for power play goals in a single season, which was 9. Max Domi celebrated his birthday as he got acquired by the Stars. So happy birthday to him, although it's a day belated. Dylan Wells from the Blackhawks also came, like I said, in exchange for Hudobin and a 2025 second round pick. Domi appeared in 60 games with Chicago for the season, recording 49 points, as I said, leading the club in all categories. So we took Chicago's scoring leader. He shared the team lead in power play goals, 8, and power play points, 18, so 8 goals, 10 assists among current members of the Blackhawks. The Winnipeg Manitoba native has recorded 119 goals, 363 points in 561 career regular season contests with Chicago, Carolina, Columbus, Montreal, and Arizona. 28-year-old has appeared in 24 Stanley Cup playoff games. Wow, that is some playoff experience that we do not have here in Dallas. With Carolina in 2022, Montreal 2020, posting 9 points, 3 goals, and 6 assists. 3 goals, 6 assists, that is. He's a big boy, reasonably big boy, 5'10", 195 pounds, was originally selected by Phoenix in the first round, 12th overall, in the 2013 draft. If that isn't a reason for you to be pumped, I don't know what is. And you know what? I feel like they're going to make me eat my words. I still question whether or not this team's going to make playoffs. I feel like they were reasonably close to running out of energy on their own. And it took trading somebody like Gurianov, somebody like Hudobin was in the minors. And the young guys were just kind of taking over there. But somebody like Dennis getting traded, He wasn't doing much either, and he was a fan favorite. You know, everybody loved him. He was fast, and, you know, when he did score, he wasn't bad. So Montreal got a pretty good trade out of that, out of Dadonov and Dennis, you know, that they got a pretty good deal. I'll say that. Because when Dennis gets out of his slump, boy, all bets are off. I'm telling you. And when he gets his confidence back and whatever else is going on, it's going to get better for him in Montreal. I will say that. I don't know what happened to him, but at one point in the season, he did leave the team to go back to Russia for a little bit. So something personal happened there that could have played part of it. I don't really know. I won't know unless I can get in contact with somebody in the team about it, but I probably won't. But I'm fairly convinced that played a part. I really am. Either way, good luck to him. Dodonov is doing his thing here in Dallas. I think that was a much needed boost to the Stars. It's proving to be a good boost for the Stars, as we need somebody that can move the puck and move bodies around. He seems to be. The assist he keeps racking up over the last couple games is a good indication that he's going to be all right. And the Stars will too. And we'll just have to wait, man. The Stars' upcoming schedule is one for the ages. I mean, not really. But it'll be fun nonetheless. We have Colorado coming up, Calgary, Buffalo, Seattle again, Vancouver, Edmonton, Calgary, Seattle again, Pittsburgh, Vancouver, Chicago, Arizona, Colorado, Nashville, Philadelphia, I almost said Phoenix, Vegas, Detroit, St. Louis, and then St. Louis at home. Those two are back-to-back to close out the season. Can you believe this season is that close to being over? A little bit of a fun fact. I told you the Stars may not make it to the playoffs. They're still top of the Central Division. Sorry, brain fart. Looks like they're at the top of the conference for the moment, fighting Vegas, the Kings, and the Wild for the top spot in the conference. They're sitting at 79 points, and the two wild card teams, 74 for Edmonton, 72 points for Winnipeg. Okay, so they're about five to 7 points out of the wild card position, which is a little bit better than 2 to 3. It's getting better. It's not that big of a shakeup either, which says a lot about the makeup of this team. You know, it didn't take them trading somebody like Jamie Benn, Tyler Seguin, to wake them up. Sometimes you have to rely on your friends to wake you up. I will say that. I love my co-host to death, K-Fitz, because when I'm in a funk, he just goes, hey, you got this, snap out of it, you know, and that may have been what this team did before the trade deadline situation. It may not have been, I don't know. But sometimes, you know, hey, wake up is necessary. And that's what it seems like this team has done. They're sitting, what did I say? Oh my gosh, brain fart. How many points? 79 points. Okay, so they're 33, 16, and 13. Essentially, all they need to do is win a little bit more than 40 games, and you know, that pretty much guarantees them a playoff spot, at least in the Western Conference. I could be wrong there, but that's kind of what it seems like it's doing this season. Anyways, like I said, I've packed up everything I can pack into this episode, said everything I can say without getting repetitive, redundant, because it's a solo show. Colorado, coming at you tomorrow afternoon. Gonna be fun. I want to thank y'all for watching. I want to thank the awesome owner of this site for giving me a chance to do this show. I'll see you on Monday. Thanks again for listening. I love you guys, and I'll talk to you soon.